That is the counting of Paige.
No.
That's you counting. Paige, what is, what do you go by? Is it Paige Renee or Paige Spiranak?
Well, people always mispronounce my last name, so it's Spiranak, but everyone says Spiranak. No, it's fine.
Fucked it up.
I think we're just going to change it because everyone says it the wrong right way, I guess. So
I said, wait, I just said Paige Spiranak, but it's Paige Spiranak.
Spiranak, yes.
Right. You could put like a long line over the first A.
Maybe. Was that I don't know. I think people would still like.
Then they would be like Spiranak. They would totally fuck it up.
When people come up to me, they usually say Paige Renee.
Right. Because that's what you're known for.
Yeah, it's my Instagram handle.
So wait, do you know what Spiranak? Fuck. I'm
See,
so sorry.
Everyone says it wrong. If someone says it the correct way, right. the world is like.
Have you ever said it wrong? No.
No.
You never said it wrong?
No.
I'm
going to say it wrong now, though.
Spiranak.
Spiranak.
Do you know what it means? Do you know where it comes from?
Both my grandparents are Czechoslovakian.
Okay.
So we're both Czech.
Great country.
Yeah.
Have you been?
I've never been there.
Have you been, where's your favorite place in the world?
My favorite place in the world? Ooh.
Because you travel a lot.
I do travel a lot, but I haven't been out of the country that many times. I've been to Korea, and then I've been to Dubai 3 times now, and then I went to Aruba, and I think that's it. Scotland and England.
Oh, Scotland.
Scotland is pretty cool.
We were supposed to go to Scotland together. Do you remember? Shane was trying to set
this up. I remember that. Yeah. And then he just went without us.
Yeah. What the fuck? Bacon.
Thanks, Shane.
So for those of you at home, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm just meeting Paige now for the first time. And maybe you are too. Paige, I'm sure that people meet you and know that there's something special about you, but they're like, you know, do people do that thing where they're like, who are you? How do I know you? Do they do that?
Well, it depends. If I'm out and I have like a couple like people like my age who have social media, then they're like, oh, like I've seen you like,
right.
You know, kind of everywhere.
Right.
And then all the people are like, who are you?
Yeah, who
like, should
this?
I know you? And I'm like, if you have to ask, I'm probably not that important. So.
Right. That is a funny one.
Yeah.
Because I walk around golf events and I'm, what's the word? A non-conformist, maybe?
Yeah.
You know,
so everyone comes up to you and they're like, you have to be important or famous.
Yeah. Ian Baker Finch came up to me yesterday at Augusta and said, good to see you. And I was like, do you know who I am? And he was like, no. And he just walked away. And I was like, that was incredible.
That's really cool. I think when I show up to PGA Tour events,
yeah,
I think everyone's like, oh, she's like desperate looking for a husband, you know, because I'm like, you know, blonde.
Hashtag tour wife.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, wow, look at this girl.
So but for those of the people listening that don't know anything about you, mm-hmm. which I would imagine is very few, my parents probably, my parents are the only listeners, but they also aren't really that, you know, active on social media. My dad's still private. I don't know why.
Wow.
My dad's actually a great golf painter. He's moved into, I'll show you some paintings.
That's cool.
Are you hungry?
I'm not.
I make cookies for podcast guests.
Then yes, I am hungry. If it was a cookie.
This is like my favorite part of the day. I have more too. If you want, we can split this one because I feel like some people think I might be poisoning them. I don't know why. This is a gluten-free paleo cookie. It's almond flour. I made it in Los Angeles like several days ago.
Really good.
It's pretty good, right?
It's really good.
Coconut oil.
Mm-hmm. You taste it.
This podcast is sponsored by Paleo Cookies. There's no company, but it's just sponsored by coconut sugar, basically. It's pretty good, right?
I can get behind this.
It's not as crispy as it should be.
I like them gooey. I like gooey cookies.
It's
I don't
better.
Like crispy cookies.
No, you don't want it too crispy.
Let's go.
You don't need to finish that. Okay. Don't feel like you need to.
Okay.
But you're also more than welcome to.
Okay, I've got like. And give it back.
Compliment. I'll give it to the chef. My dog is the chef of the cookies. Do you have a dog?
I do have a dog.
I feel like I know this.
Yeah,
tell
I'm obsessed with my dog. We've had him for a year, 3 days ago. So
whoa.
So we got him last year right before the math. Well, so we got him on April 1st.
Okay.
And I brought him in. My parents were like, seriously, you got a dog? They're like, this is April Fool's, right? And I'm like, no, this is ours. Because they were like, if you get a dog, like, this is the worst decision ever. Like, you travel all the time. Like, who's going to watch it? All this stuff. But luckily,
you make enough money to get a dog sitter?
Well, my parents ended up falling in love with my dog. And they, like, my mom sent me a picture last night. And She was like, oh, Nico and I, his name is Nico. Nico and I are having a little picnic at the park. And she had like his dog food in a bag. She had her meal. They were having a picnic at the park.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So they love him. But he is like the world's best dog. He's amazing. So smart. He's an Australian cattle mix. So
sexy.
Yeah. We don't know what he's
mixed
with.
That's a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
Like blue eyes?
His eyes are brown because... when we adopted him, we rescued him.
Such a solid move. It's hard to do, though. Because when you rescue a dog, you could end up with a psychopath.
Well, we did. So we were walking, and they just had all these dogs out. And I was like, that one. Like, it was right underneath, like, these two black dogs. I was like, that one. That's the one. Like, I want that dog. And they're like, oh, he's an Australian cattle mix. He'll probably be, like, 35 pounds. Like, I'm like, oh, that's perfect. So he is almost 70 pounds now.
They always minimize the weight.
I know, right?
Yeah. They're like, yeah. It's going to be a totally mellow dog, super light. Meanwhile, it's like Koju. Cujo. Yeah.
But he was. So we had him in like the first week, 2 weeks. It was terrible. Like because he's so smart. And he was like running everywhere and biting everything. And
how old was he when you got him? Like
he was 6 weeks old.
Okay.
So like a puppy.
Yeah. Just not understanding anything.
Not understanding at all. And then like a month, 2 months passed. And my mom grew up on a farm and she's had like every kind of animal. And she's like the dog whisperer. And she's like, I got this.
Aww.
3 months into it, I don't got this. Like, what are we going to do? And so we end up getting a dog trainer. Her name is Zaina, and she like saved our lives.
Yeah.
This dog, she did like a 6 week puppy boot camp.
Whoa.
And like changed our lives. Like he came back and was like the most perfect dog ever. But good she was you. Like, this is the most like frustrated dog I've ever had.
Yeah.
She's like, he's really insecure. Aww. Has a lot of anxiety. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely my dog.
Like, I relate.
Like, that's my dog. Everyone like looked at me and was like, you passed this along. I'm like, I didn't birth this dog.
Right.
It's not my fault.
It's so cool that you got a dog and, you know, your mom was like not feeling it, but then it like opened up her life.
Well, she knew that she's such an animal lover that she was like, if we get this dog, I'm probably gonna have to take care of it.
Right.
And she's like, I'll be obsessed with it. And I'm like, I don't want to do that right now. And no, it's worked out. So he'll like have some time with like grandma and grandpa and then aww, come back to us. And
can you take him out on the golf course?
We did when he was little. And because we would put him in the little back basket.
Oh, brilliant.
And like put blankets
like
in
a
there.
Sidecar.
But now he's pretty big and he's still pretty crazy. And so we're like worried that he'll just like bolt off.
Dart.
I think when he gets like older and more mellow, hopefully.
Yeah. So I adopted a dog, and about a year ago, I went to the place to pick up the dog, and I walked in, and I was like, I'm not going to pick a dog, right? I'm gonna let the dog pick me.
Yeah.
And so whatever that means, what I think it meant was I'm just going to take the first dog that makes eye contact with me, which I guess is actually a sign of disrespect from a dog. They're not supposed to make eye contact with you. So I walk in, and this little fucking white dog, like 100 feet away, just like perks up, looks straight at me. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, there he
is. That's the one.
That's my dog. And I go up and I'm like, I'll take this one. And they're like, don't you want to hang out with it first? And I was like, no.
We connected.
Decision's already made. This is like, what's that show? Like where they get married without meeting each other?
Yeah.
Marriage at First Sight. Yeah. So me and the dog, I would come to find out his name, Snowball.
Aww.
Snowball and I. And so I go through the whole process. I sign all the paperwork. I got to make a donation or whatever. And then they go, as I'm walking out, they go, that's so nice of you to adopt an older dog. And I was like, sorry, what?
How old is it?
They were like, he's 10. I was like, you're telling me this dog's 10. He's like this is a puppy. It's not a 10-year-old. And they're like, no, he's definitely 10. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
All right. So I go to the vet the next day and they're like, yeah, he needs work. He's got his teeth are all fucked up. He's like, who knows what happened to him? I feel like I'm going to cry. It was like hard at first,
yeah.
You know, because a puppy's different in some ways. Like they're a bit more optimistic.
Yeah.
But Snowball was he
you're
was
gonna
cute.
Make me cry. Oh my
yeah,
God.
It was really emotional.
I know, it's an emotional podcast.
Because he was like really sweet and stuff.
Well,
but then,
dogs are so helpless too. Like they can't do anything, and they rely on you, and they love you so much. And like every time you see them, they just like they're so excited, and they give you so much love, and you want to help him and.
So the interesting thing that's been happening recently is, you know, we he came to the house, obviously, and he travels everywhere with me usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, but he wasn't a cuddler, never wanted to cuddle. And that's fine with me because I don't want him in my bed.
Yeah.
Right? I'm a man. It's my fucking bed. Stay out of my bed. You know, you're a dirty dog and you never take your shoes off. So you can't come in the bed and you can't come on the furniture. And I had a dog trainer as well.
Yeah.
This guy was deaf and he would never, he worked with Caesar Milan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about it because you were like, Nico would run away.
Mm-hmm.
Snowball does not run away. He goes off leash with me on every golf course. And the trick was, I asked my dog trainer, Brian, I said, Brian, how do I get him to never run away out of off leash? And he was like, oh, it's very easy. If they ever get out of your sight, you hide.
Really?
And then they develop a complete like
fear, oh no, like
yeah,
what
fear response
happened, yeah.
To owner doesn't give a shit if I'm gone or not. And so they stick by me. And it's like a power play. I'm not recommending it, like, because there are obviously things that get in the way, like interstates, roads.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's dangerous. I live on a very quiet street. It's like a one-way dirt road. So it was very easy to practice. And what I'll do, too, is if I walk back to my house and he's not with me, I shut the door for 30 minutes. And he has to sit outside. And he will.
He'll just sit there.
He sits by the door for 30 minutes. And then he'll yelp. And then he'll bark. And then I let him in, and he's just so goddamn grateful to be inside the house.
He's like, thank you, master.
But I noticed the next day, he's like right by me the entire walk.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he's developed a knack for cuddling.
Aw.
And, yeah, I don't know, maybe, you know, there's a movement to bringing more dogs on golf courses. Have you noticed this?
I support it. I'm all about it. I'd like to take Nico, but like, he is just still really protective, and we don't trust him 100%. Yeah. Like, the worst
thing.
Does
he bark?
Like, he doesn't bark. I mean, unless he doesn't like guys. So, right. Like, if a guy comes.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's really protective of me.
Did you teach him that?
Yeah. Like, bark. No, but, like, if they come too close, he, like, his hair stands up and he starts barking. And
really?
Yeah, and he gets pretty aggressive. So, like, he loves us and he's, like, the cutest dog ever. But, like, he's pretty scary. And so guys are like, whoa, no.
Right.
Kids, he hates kids, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
But I don't mind that because, like, kids can be a bit annoying when they're, like, in your dog's face. And I'm like, he's going to bite you. Like, move
he's
away.
He's an animal. Yeah.
No, but he's not dangerous, but we're, like, overprotective with him.
Right. That's
all
good.
Of us. And so, what, helicopter dog parent?
What style dog parent are you? Yeah. Helicopter. I'm like, what's the other side? I'm not a helicopter. I'm like a ship. I don't know.
All I know is helicopter.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I was raised, yeah. And I will continue
I'm
that.
I'm like a crashed plane.
I like it.
I'm like, here are the, yeah, whatever. So anyway, you, I guess here's my thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you know, to go back to what you're known for, right? You're
a little detour through dogs for a little bit.
You got to talk about dogs first. The paleo cookie's been completed. How do you describe yourself to people? I mean, you're definitely a celebrity.
No.
You don't want to be a celebrity, but you are.
No, I don't know. I can't really describe myself. It's hard to say what I do. I guess I'm a social media influencer. I played professionally, but I'm not playing professionally anymore. So people get offended if you say you're a pro golfer and you're not really playing anymore, which
right.
I found out.
the hard way.
So I used to play professionally. Now I do social media. I do media work for different companies. I'm also an ambassador for CyberSmile, which is an anti-bullying organization.
So anti-bullying?
Yes, anti-cyberbullying.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I hate cyberbullies.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Do you block them?
It depends on what they say. If it's like kind of mean, then I respond back with something kind of funny and like, I don't know. And then if they're like really mean, then I block them.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. I notice it's usually like the same like five to seven people and they're like just there all the time. And I'm like, oh, Steve,
whoa.
Stop.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The same five to seven.
Yeah. And it's like, you just see them like constantly.
And they just make
like,
new accounts and shit like that.
Not new accounts. It's the same account. But like if I'm tagged in something else and they'll go and they'll say the same thing. And I'm like, seriously, again. But then, so I do that. So I go around and
I'm sorry you have to deal with that.
No, I'm sorry.
That sucks.
It was really bad in the beginning. And I think a lot of people who kind of know my journey or know my story know that I've really struggled with it.
Yeah.
Especially in like my first two, like big pro events. I got a lot of backlash.
This is 2 years ago, 3 years
Dubai,
ago?
Dubai. Yeah. Almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in December.
Okay.
And I struggled with it and it was really, really bad. And since then I was really open about it. And
right.
It kind of hindered my professional golf career at first. And then.
Sure. You're all dealing with this.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I was dealing with this and I couldn't like try to play. And
yeah.
I think if I never like had that or if I never I was talking to my parents about this. Like, I think if I didn't have social media, I would probably be on tour. But I like what I'm doing now even better.
Have you said that to other people? If you didn't, that's so fascinating.
I think it's because I care so deeply what people think about me. And I always say that.
I do too.
Yeah. I think what makes me great, like the traits that I love about myself is like compassion and caring and like, I care what people think about me and I like to make them happy. And I'm a people pleaser, I guess. And that holds me back as a professional golfer. And so I think that was just elevated through social media because you see these comments coming in every single day. And I'm not like the type of person who's just like, you know, F you, you know, like I don't want to deal with this. Like I'm better than you. Or I'm always like, oh, well, how are you doing? You know, and I take time out of my day. But that hurt me playing professionally, but it helps me be, I think, create a really positive community on social media. I think that's why I have the following that I do. And they're so loyal because I do.
They really are.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I do take time to like comment back to everyone. And I go through all my DMs and I try to respond to everyone. And
whoa. You go through all the DMs.
I try to. I mean, there's days, I'll go like weeks where I don't even look at them.
You must get 100 DMs a day.
Yeah.
At least, right?
Yeah, at least.
Whether you post or not.
Yeah. It depends on what I do.
Right. Oh, this is so, I have so many questions, like so many. I'm just flooded. Wait, so first of all, okay, so, well, first, I just wanted to go back and say one thing. I actually think I may not have said the truth there when I said I think I've learned to not care what people think about me because it's been hard because I think.
I know what you're saying. Like you get to the point where it's like you get called the same thing over and over and over again. You're almost like desensitized to and you're just like, whatever. Yeah. Like what you say is not going to affect me anymore.
Well, it's an interesting thing because, you know, not in nearly the same way as you. I had an article come out 2 years ago when our first episode of the show that I do called Adventures in Golf came out. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
You don't need to lie. You don't need to say you've seen it. I'll send it to you. You're going to love
it. Okay.
You're going to love it. It's really fun. We did, you know, we've done it all over the world. And anyway, the first episode came out a couple years ago and Golf WRX posted a video.
Oh my gosh, they're the worst. No, well, okay, I think they're not the worst. They're I just had something come out on there too, and they had to disable the comments because they were so bad.
No,
I was like called like a whore. My dad was called like all these names. Like,
how did your dad get involved?
Oh, it got so bad. Like, and people were attacking like my fiance and like because I never post about him, and they're like, how could you like never post about him? And
I was gonna ask about that.
Yeah, but like they
fair question.
They attacked like everything about me and everyone. They're like, yeah, we're going to disable the comments now.
Amazing.
Yeah, but so I understand.
You broke the website.
I broke the website.
It's so great that you had the same, similar. My only thing was there was one comment, not many, just one.
But one is just as bad as many.
Well, it was glaring because for many reasons. One, it was only one.
Yeah.
Two, it was my first comment ever, really, as me being in the on the face of something. Mm-hmm. I was a documentarian. Before that, I was a photographer. I was always on this side of the camera. So To go out there and be in front of the camera wearing a t-shirt was unorthodox. And the comment was, I want to kill this person. It was a video of me and it said, I want to kill this person.
Yeah. Like,
and I was like, what? I'm like just trying to be happy.
I found out that they're like very traditional and like they love just like people describe them as like the golf nerds. Not in a bad way, but like it's just golf and all golf and nothing different. And so if they post anything different, it's like the world is ending.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I get it.
So there's that. And then, so anyway, I've found that, you know, my own sort of path has brought me through, you know, different forms of being in golf media and being in the media room and, you know, working with great golf companies like PGA Tour and Golf Digest and stuff like that. And it's been funny feeling like an outsider and then in my life and then as well going into the golf world, which is one big thing, and then the golf media world, which is even smaller, and just feeling more and more on the outside of everything. And so my experience, though, very recently has been, you know what? I don't actually care.
Yeah.
Like, I've done something, and I was going to talk to you about this, too, is, you know, the experience for me of walking around a tournament and having someone come up and say, hey, cool. That's, like, literally, like, I just hope that I end on that.
Yeah.
I hope that I die right after someone says that.
Yeah.
Because it's just, because it's not about ego. It's just like, oh, like I've connected with someone.
Yeah.
About something I care about. And I was just going to mention like, so anyway, that's propelled me to be like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm doing my thing. But for you, what's that experience like of, you know, Well, first of all, let's go back to the DMs.
Yeah.
100 a day.
Or
you've
more.
You've got 1.5 million followers on Instagram. What the hell? What do you do with all of that information? It's got to be stressful.
Yeah, it can be stressful, but again, it's I consider it my job. So, you know, people sit at a desk from like 7 to 5 or well, I don't know what the working hours out. Are. So, like, yeah. What is it?
7 to 5 is not accurate. Okay. But it's like it's 9 to 5.
9 to 5. That's what it is. I've never had a real job. Can we break?
Have you really? Me neither.
No, never this had a real great. Job. No, because my parents always said if I gave everything to, playing a sport growing up and I worked on getting a college scholarship, I didn't have to work a normal job. And then I ended up, you know, getting a college scholarship and then turning pro right away and then came into media. So I've never like had like a normal job. So 9 to 5, you learn something every day.
You just did. I'm happy to help.
Thank you.
you did what a lot of people do, right? I mean, you know, David Faraday, you know, a lot of these people, they just had more time in the stressful playing golf.
I gave it a year and I was done.
Yeah, you're like, F this.
I'm out.
Paige out.
Done.
Paige is like on Instagram. That's it. So your Instagram says Instagram golfer.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Is that a joke?
That's a joke. So I changed that actually after the
You changed it? Since when?
No, it's still Instagram golfer. But I've always had professional golfer.
Right.
Because I mean I played professionally. I've earned money playing. By definition, I'm a professional golfer.
I have not. I've lost money. I need money back.
So if I have to get my amateur status back, it's kind of a long process.
I've heard it's
very complicated. You have to like send a request and money, and like it could take years, or I don't even know. Like they said, it could take a while. Yeah. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to do that right now. So I'll still be a professional golfer. And people get really upset if you say you're a professional golfer and you're not actively playing. So I was like, I'm sick
of... What do you think that is?
I think it's just like the traditional golf community. It's like if anyone's doing anything different or it's not like the status quo, like they're really like mad about it and it like really upsets them. So I was like, okay, I have a good enough sense of humor to make fun of myself. You know, like I'm an Instagram golfer. That's what I do, you know, and it is what I do. And I'm not offended by it. I'm not upset
what's
by it.
What's there to be offended by?
No, I mean, social media is...
I mean, what's the biggest
future.
App
it's
in the
now.
World?
It's Instagram, you know, you have Facebook, Twitter, everything. And that's how companies now are marketing. And like that's how they should be marketing. It's the smart way to do it. And if I can reach over a million people with one post, that's more than if I was on, you know, TV.
Oh, right, because your impressions must be off the wall.
Yeah. So
what the fuck? Can we explain what the hell is an impression?
So basically, I don't really know either. I think it's just like when someone sees it. So anytime like
whether they like it or not.
Yeah, whether they like it or not. It's just if the eyes are on your content, like that's an impression.
Right. Love making impressions. I like making good impressions mostly. So you, because I saw the Instagram golfer and I was like, I can't, I Ashley Mayo. Mm-hmm. I'm working with her.
I love Ashley.
She's great.
Yeah.
She was like, I think she's joking. And I was like, I don't know her, so I can't answer to that. So I was curious about that.
Yeah. I mean, when we talk about the negative comments, I've been called everything that you can imagine.
Yeah.
Everything.
You're a polarizing figure.
Yeah. It was just funny because people think I'm like the bad girl of golf, and I'm literally like the most like innocent. Like I love just... I never get in trouble or anything at all, and I really don't like...
Yeah, you're like home by 6.
Yeah, after work.
Yeah, after 7 to 5.
Yeah. No, and so I think it's really funny, but I just like to have a good sense of humor about it. I think people think that I get really upset because I spoke out about cyberbullying, but I'm not talking about like just the kind of those comments when I'm talking about them. I'm talking about like the death threats and like harassment.
Whoa, what the death threats?
Yeah. And like invasion of privacy and, you know, just people.
Invasion of privacy. What do you mean? Like literally hacking?
Yeah. And, you know, putting things out there that I don't want out there and, you know, dealing with that and being blackmailed over things that are out there.
Whoa.
Yeah. I've pretty much experienced everything you can experience like online.
Do you have like an extra secure phone?
So we have like, I don't want to talk about because some people will be like, I want to try to hack her. No, but like we have everything set up.
My listeners are all nice people.
We have everything set up where like if something goes wrong, like I'm okay. Like I'm protected. We've done everything because I've been through it all. So like we know.
Can you not use Apple Pay?
I don't like, I don't have anything like on iCloud or anything. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't use the iCloud.
I post something or have a picture, delete it right away off my phone.
Really?
Like conversations. Yeah, I just like, really? I just don't want to deal with it again. And it's just like, it's not fun. And, you know, it sucks. And so like, when I talk about that stuff obviously makes me emotional because it's caused a lot of conflict and like, depression, anxiety, and all that stuff, because you're always like constantly worried, like what someone's going to say when they see, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we start to overanalyze.
Exactly.
The post.
But when it comes down to it, I actually have a really good sense of humor of people, you know, calling me like an Instagram golfer or a joke or like making fun of my outfits or, you know, I think it's funny and like I'm making a living and a lot of people obviously like what I'm doing and a lot of people don't like what I'm doing, but I'm trying to just to focus on people who like what I'm doing because I love what I'm doing. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. Like I'm not, it's nothing, wearing a tank top's not against the law. So
it's not. In
last
fact,
time I checked.
one of my favorite golf courses, the dress code is you have to wear a glove and pants.
I like it.
And I was like, so I can not wear a shirt? And they were like, yeah. And, you know, in France, they have topless billboards. Did you know this?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Like, literally, you go to the bus station, and there's an 80-year-old lady and a 4-year-old kid, and there's a topless chick. Topless. Breasts.
Well, I mean, I always tell...
Female breasts.
I always tell people, I'm like, it's the human body. I'm not ashamed. I don't think we should, you know... By you being so offended, you're actually over-sexualizing me without my consent. You know, I'm wearing something that's, you know, just athletic and I'm not going out there to say, hey, look at me, but you're offended and you're looking at it as this piece of pornography almost.
Right.
That's your problem, not my problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you're dealing with. You're making it out to be something way bigger. It's just a little bit of cleavage. It's boobs. It's not that big of a deal. Like
you dress this way.
Yeah,
right now you're wearing like it's a zip up, but it's tight fitting, and you just that's what you wear.
Yeah.
You could wear a like a huge raincoat or something. But I You're good looking and you're a product of our time, 2018. Like, you don't have to wear that stuff.
Well, I like to wear things that are form-fitting because I think it flatters my body shape a little bit more. You know, I don't think anyone ever wants to go out and not feel their best. And I just feel better with things that are tighter on. And I have also a body shape that is a bit curvier and... It again is over sexualized without, you know, I could wear something that someone else is wearing, but because of the way my body is shaped, I'm, you know, seen as a slut and the other girl's cute. And it's always kind of
that's weird.
It's hard for me. Yeah. Cause I don't think what I wear on the golf course is honestly all that bad. You know, I'm not out there like, you know, naked.
Right.
I'm wearing a tank top.
I've played golf naked.
Yeah.
I've played golf fully naked.
Oh gosh.
You
I saw this
me.
Image.
You don't quite believe me.
Like windy outside.
It's actually really funny. So I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's so in Florida, there is a nudist colony where they have a golf course. And so for the show, the idea was I'll go down there and play golf with them. And couple takeaways, right?
Yeah.
One is, I don't know, have you ever played golf naked?
I have
Probably not.
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, it would be harder for you. I mean, I played golf with Caitlyn Jenner, and she was having a very hard time with her breasts, trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
But as a male playing golf naked, the biggest sin, the strange experience is the sweat all gathers in one place, and it's very strange. Like literally, I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but the sweat all goes to the, I guess, how would you describe it? The front of the plane.
Yes.
and it's just so strange. Like it feels like something.
But I'm sure you felt free, right? Like your swing probably felt great, and like you, like you were just like there was nothing holding you back,
right? Except, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. And the funny thing was though is that you know I was on this nudist colony, and we're shooting a show, so we've got a couple days of production, you know, and I'm in there with the cameras, and you know we've given, you know, the agreements to film, and we're there, and. The moment comes for me to take my clothes off in public.
Yeah.
And off camera, I was like, guys, you know, because I'm with my crew. I'm like, guys, just get naked with me, you know? Come on, don't make me feel so weird. You're my friends. And they were like, no.
No.
And I was like, come on, man, just take your shirt off, something. Just like take your shoes off. I don't know. Like, you don't have to show me your thing, but like, just take your pants off, you know? Whatever. And like, none of them did. So then I had to get naked. And the process of getting naked in public is... I mean, it is. I can see why people do it because it's like a drug.
It's
in a bad way.
I think it's Well, because I did the Sports Illustrated shoot, and that was my first time that I've ever done like a bikini shoot.
Right.
And it was nerve-wracking at first, and by the end of it, you're like, I don't want anything on.
Yeah,
it's so freeing, and all. Like, it's almost like an empowering experience. I try to explain this to people, and they don't get it. I think unless you strip naked public, like then you get it. But you just feel so free and like powerful, and
So then I finally do it, and the first minute, I'm just like, oh, this is so awkward, and like it was a little chilly, so I was like not looking my best, and then like 90 seconds go by, and I was like, wait a minute. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I just started like stretching, you know, and then I'm just like naked. And I was naked for 2 days.
Yeah.
I didn't put any, I did karaoke naked. I sang. And mind you, I was standing next to a dude who was, you know, huge, a big guy. It's like 6'8". And me and him were just going at it, singing, singing country music. Anyway. So I play golf naked. So here's the thing. You don't know this, right? There's no way for you to know what I'm about to tell you. This is an interesting story that I have that connects you and I in a way that you just would never know. And I think it's really cool. So
I don't know where this is going after golf course.
It's actually, it's quite intellectual. It's actually really cool.
Okay.
Cause I see you as, you're kind of a sign of the times, right? You're pointing towards where we're going to go, which I think is really cool.
Thank you.
So I'm in Thailand in May. It's about a year ago.
I've never been to Thailand. I heard it's amazing.
You gotta go.
Okay.
Seriously, top of the list.
I mean, everyone has said it's like top of the list.
Golf is great there, but it's more about just the
beach. Like the culture.
The beach. I mean, yeah, the culture. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Right? I just got back from Japan where, you know, it's a repressed culture, straight up. Thailand, they're just like, take your shirt, whatever. Like, you know, do whatever you want.
So anywhere you can get naked, you're all about it.
It sounds like I'm a total creep, but I'm not. It's like, I'm actually really basic. I'm a totally boring guy. So Thailand. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat in Thailand with a bunch of, you know, kids. Like just not people I know. We're going to an island. And
that's how you like get everywhere, right?
It's all boats. Boat. Yeah. And so some boats are small. A lot of boats we were on were like four people.
Are they like taxi boats? Like do you basically go like they brought me there?
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. There's some of that. Yeah. And it's cool, man. Some of the boats are like wooden. Like you feel like you're in Venice, but you're in islands. And
that's
you're like,
really cool.
Yeah. And I'm just like waiting to run into Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, like, have you seen The Beach? You got to see The Beach. I love The Beach. It's a great movie. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have, right? You're not yesing me, are you?
No, I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
How old are you?
24. I just turned 25.
Amazing. That's great. This is going to sound like not a compliment, but I was going to say I thought you were older, but not because you have like you have like a worldliness, but you also have like obviously so much. I feel like you have a lot more experience than most.
Well, I was homeschooled pretty much like my whole life, so I was raised just around adults. So right. I think
You're very mature. You don't seem that. I mean, not according to looks, right? Looks. I don't know why everyone gets so caught up with looks. What's a good compliment for you? What do you like to hear?
I think that I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
I always like when people say that. Like, you're really nice. Because I think
you are.
Like people, I know what you're saying. Like people think I'm like older or like I have this face that I think like doesn't come off as very warm and friendly sometimes. And so,
really?
Yeah, I think
you have a great smile.
I think because I'm really actually shy around people. And so like I stand there and I like look terrified because I'm like, oh gosh, because I have really bad social anxiety.
Do you really?
I do.
I could tell you were a little shy when we said hi.
Yeah, no, I'm really shy.
I was like, I should be shy.
I love like one-on-one.
Let me be the giant.
Like one-on-one stuff like this. Like I love it. I love talking to people and I love knowing their story, but I'm not one to be like, talk about me the whole time.
Right.
And like, so in group settings, I'm not like the life of the party. Like I'm always standing against like the side and.
Right.
So yeah. So Thailand.
I can go back and forth. I can go back and forth. You know, like the life of the party is a hard one. It's almost like an extra gear that you have to like prepare for.
Yeah. I know. Like in college I don't drink any alcohol anymore, but like
me too.
When college.
Wait, did you quit drinking?
I quit drinking.
Wait, are you sober?
Well, I'm not for like, because I had.
I'm like a crazy wild alcoholic.
Oh, no.
I quit drinking 17 or 18 years ago.
So I drank like for like a year or two in college and I didn't like handle it well. And like I never, you know, when people can like socially drink and just like have a drink.
Yeah, I've heard of
that. I never,
I don't know them.
I never like had that gear, I guess. Right. And so I like if I was drinking, I would like I just would just go and go and go. And then I just didn't really like the person that I was. And then yeah. also because I had a lot of anxiety and a little bit of depression too.
Oh yeah.
It like amplified it. Yeah. And it was like those 2 years in college were like the worst 2 years I've ever had.
The swings are crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I just didn't like the person I was. And I feel like I can go to a party and have a great time without it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm done. So I think the last time I was probably like tipsy was my sister's wedding. That was, I think, 3 years ago, 4 years
That's
ago.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I mean, you learn so much about people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Thailand. I don't drink either. And Thailand is a big drinking spot. But
I feel like everywhere is now, though.
Last night I was out till 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink.
No.
And I'm just like, I clocked it for a second, and I was like, I looked around, and I was like, I could be one of the happiest people here. And yeah. I haven't had a drink in, you know, half of my life.
Yeah. You feel better too when you wake up. You have nothing to regret. You know what you did.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, mostly.
I mean, I still get arrested a lot for some reason. I don't know how. Mostly because of I'm in foreign countries. Because you look
important. Probably because you're naked all the time.
Sure, I got to put my clothes back on. So Thailand. So I'm on this boat and I'm going to this island and, you know, everyone's talking to everybody. It's like you're on the subway, but everyone's excited.
Yeah.
And they want to be social. And so I start talking to this person who ends up becoming a friend over the last year. And she lives in San Francisco and she does like social media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're hanging out. I don't quite remember how it came up, but I said, she was standing around. I said, do you want a photo? Do you want a photo of yourself? Because I like to offer that.
Yeah.
You know, because I know what it's like.
It's awkward to ask sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes I want one, but I don't want to ask. Exactly. Yeah. Like you said. Mm-hmm. So I said, do you want a photo? And she said, no, I don't like to post selfies. And I was like, hang on a second. And I had, this is a few weeks after I had been interested in you somehow, right? Mm-hmm. I think this was around the time a lot of press was coming out about you and your story, and you know, you were becoming very authentic about your experience. Yeah. and people were interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was, you know, I'm in the golf world, so I was learning about it. Who's Paige Spiranek?
There you go.
Nailed it. Just give me 3 chances. And so, like anything, I'm a really curious person.
Yeah.
And so I went back and looked at, you know, because Instagram is essentially the only thing I'm interested in. And it happens to be, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of where you do your That's 7 to 5.
My favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
7 to 5.
So I scroll back all the way and I start looking at your first photos. Mm-hmm. And when was the last time you went back and looked at the beginning of your feed?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. Like a year or like months or something?
Probably a couple months.
Yeah. So I was fascinated by what I took away. What I found is I went back and I looked at all these photos. And I realized something, you know, like pretty profound, I think. And it's not about you. It's about like us.
Tell me about it.
Which is, you know, your first photo is a landscape photo mm-hmm. of a golf course.
Yeah.
And I think you said something like, can't wait to get out there or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm assuming it was while you were in college, like playing competitively.
Yeah.
And so it was the second photo. You're in the second photo, but very small. You're a tenth of the frame and you're walking or something. And then the third one is like you wearing, you know, like full on rain gear. You know what I mean? And something. And the third one is like you in like bad lighting holding a trophy.
Yeah.
And in some sense, this is all the time that we're all figuring out what Instagram is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, some pictures go by and all of a sudden then there's like a nice photo of you, like a real headshot. You know, and you're like looking in the lens and, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, she's very pretty. And I don't know when the likes came, but obviously that photo got more likes.
Yeah.
And I sort of started to follow along with that. And then I go through your own thing. And I was looking through all the photos. And I was like, huh, okay. So then here's a photo of not her. And here's a photo of her. The likes are disparate. Like there's a very big difference.
Yeah.
And then I was like, huh. And I go look at my own feed. And I realize like the photo of the turtle, no one gives a shit about. But the photo of me with the turtle, people care about.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. People are following me.
Exactly.
And they're interested in me. And so in some sense, you've got multiple levels of this too, as we continue down this like path of logic. You've got that, people liking it. So Instagram is a drug.
Yeah.
Have you heard this one? Anderson Cooper did this amazing.
I know, it's a drug. It's very addicting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For you, it's like a huge drug.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be. You post a photo and just see 100,000 likes roll in a day. It's got to be like.
It's gone to the point
where you need a shower after that.
Like I know what's gonna do well. I know how many lights. I like it's it's I don't want to say it's calculated because
no, it is,
I like
though.
To be really authentic in what I post, but at the same time,
but you're a
like,
writer. You're a writer.
Exactly. I know what's going to do well. I know what's going to resonate. I know my audience. I've done this, you know, for going on 3 years now. Like you just, you know what to do. And
yeah.
I think when people talk about, you know, my fiance, why don't you post my fiance?
Well, what's the answer to that?
It's my page. You know, I
it's your page Spiranic?
Yeah, it's my page Spiranic.
I'm sorry.
I don't post my friends. I don't post my family. It's me and it's my page. I want to keep it just me. If you think about it in a way.
It's your job. It's my fucking job. It's my 7 to 5.
You know, I don't want to say this because I hate saying this, but at the end of the day, it's a brand, you know, and yeah. it's my job. And that page right there, it's a business for me. It's yeah. not. And so if you go on, you know, like Mercedes or BMW and you're yeah. looking at BMWs, you're not going to see a picture of the guy's dog.
True.
You know, like it's they're keeping it to what people like, what they're there for, and yeah. you know,
stay true to the brand.
Exactly.
So, had you ever posted pictures of the guy?
So I have a personal Facebook account.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Steven. I have a personal.
I've Facebook. Heard he's great.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah,
he's a sweetheart.
That's cool.
I have a personal Facebook account that I'll post stuff and.
Right.
But I no.
That's just for your friends. That's closed.
Just for my friends.
Right.
Private.
Right.
But no, nothing.
You never did on your professional Instagram.
No, I've never done anything with
that's
him.
That's good. You didn't even try.
No.
You weren't like,
but
I don't
people,
know.
But I've, if someone asks me about him, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm single. You know, like
yeah.
I love him.
I mean, a huge wedding ring. I'm not huge.
No, it's very tasteful.
It's tasteful. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big jewelry person, so he did right. a good job.
Jewelry's hard if you play golf.
Yeah, so I was, yeah. I take it off.
I was married and I lost the ring.
Did you?
I lost it. I took it off at a golf course.
I know. I'm so worried I'm going to do that with this
I think
one.
I lost it at Cyprus, though. So
that's not too bad.
I told her. I was like, look, it's in a better place.
Yeah. But he's great and like he goes everywhere with me, which is really nice. So
cool.
A lot of people have now met him and he's done a
wait,
couple
did I
things.
Meet him? No, I didn't meet him.
You haven't met him yet.
No,
they
okay.
they my dad's here as well. So
oh,
they're
cool.
eating right now.
Right.
But you'll meet him and he always travels with me. He gets to meet everyone and so like he gets a lot of opportunities that we get to do together and kind of fun stuff and
right.
so it works out well and like I don't want him to just to be known as I guess like you know, my other half, I guess, like
yeah.
he's played, yeah, like he's doing his own thing. And, you know, honestly, like, I just don't want to bring my family or anyone into the world that I'm in. You
yeah.
know, I don't like them to, I get upset when I see negative comments about like my mom or my dad. The last thing I want is to post something with them and give people the opportunity to say anything.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's not because they can't handle it. I know they can handle it, but yeah. I can't handle it. If someone says something about Steven, like, I get upset about it because I love him and he's so great and he's so nice. And it's like, I just don't want to, like, deal with that.
Right.
I can handle it because I'm putting myself out there, but I don't feel like I have, like, the consent from them to, like, put them in the public eye.
You know, something's just occurring to me that you probably don't know, but I was married to a very famous musician.
Yeah, people tell me that.
You did hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was very private.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily private.
Yeah.
To the extent that she would essentially wear a mask.
Yeah.
Anytime we went out in public. And hearing you say that, this never clicked for me. I never had this as a talking point for you and I today because I didn't, I don't know, it's just coming up like, oh, there was a thing that happened. Actually, the night we got engaged, we went to like an event
mm-hmm.
and the photographers, I'd never done a red carpet. And so we're walking down the red carpet.
There, I did one red carpet recently and it's intense.
It's so hard.
It's scary.
You feel, I can't tell whether I'm the fish or the bait. But
I know,
just
we saw some of the pictures and I literally am like, the face I just made was sheer terror.
Yeah, just like the Irma Gerd
yeah,
face.
Like, yeah.
I love the Irma Gerd face. So we walked down this red carpet and the photographers are yelling and they say, you know, we've got wedding rings on, you know, like we went and
yeah.
got engaged and the photographer says, all right, now one with just Sia. And I was like, I looked at him and I was like, no, fuck that, man. We just got engaged. And then, cause I didn't understand the red carpet.
Yeah.
I thought, well, now we're together.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened is then the photographer's like, well, what? Say that again. And they were like, and all of a sudden I looked down at my phone and I had like 1,000 followers. And I was like, oh shit, this is all my personal stuff. So I went private and I had to go through and block every
yeah.
fan. And in some sense, I feel pretty lucky now because I have a very tightly knit, I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, I've since deleted a lot of those photos of
yeah.
my kind of former life. And now I've chosen to like make, to some extent, more than you, most of my life public.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And there's a lot of it that obviously I don't talk about. Probably similar to you and Steven, like you don't want to bring him into it.
No.
But you know, I have my kind of things that things that I'm interested in and things that people are interested in. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that. And it seems like figuring that out is a crucial part of this whole process. But I never realized that we had that in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So anyway, going back to this sort of realization I had on this boat in Thailand.
So Thailand.
So I'm talking to Ceci, this wonderful, you know, PR. She's not PR. She does social media. Mm-hmm. Tech world. I actually don't know what she does. But anyway, we're talking about it. And she's like, I don't like selfies. And I was like, look, you may not, but get over it because your followers do. And yeah. They'll prove it to you time and time again. Yeah. Watch. Go post a picture of yourself having fun, and they're going to like it. And you're essentially doing them a favor.
Yeah.
Like, you're giving them what they want.
They want to see you. They're on your page, you know. They can go anywhere to see landscape pictures.
You're like, not a professional photographer, so stop pretending to be
There's
one.
Pages for that, you know. Yeah. You can go to that if you want. But they're essentially just looking at you, and they want to see you. And yeah.
And even in my own experience, so then that happened a year ago, and I really realized, literally through looking at your case study,
yeah,
that, like, because I mean, you know, I'm a big, I understand very deeply that I'm a hypocrite and I change my mind a lot, and so, you know, hated Sergio Garcia, love Sergio Garcia,
he's a nice guy,
hated Ian Poulter. He's actually a pretty good guy.
Notice that all the guys who are outspoken and speak their mind, a lot of people like them, but a lot of people really hate them. But yeah. Behind closed doors, they're like the nicest guys ever. And then on the flip side, the guys who seem really nice are not very nice.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
you can't, he's always been nice to me. Like, well, we haven't had too many like interactions, but yeah. He would practice at the Farms, which is our home course at San Diego State.
Oh, right.
And so when we would play through him sometimes, and he would just say like, hey, what's up? So yeah. Like, nice enough.
Yeah.
And, but there's some guys that you're just like, I've met so many people where I'm like, I've looked up to you for so long and I'm so disappointed.
Right.
You know, and it's, you can't trust like the public perception. It's all, you know, from their sponsors and everything, like their management. It's just created. They've created this person that's not actually who they are anymore.
Right.
But I never want to be that. Like, I always want to be, I think I have created that, and I've actually created more of a negative version of myself than who I actually really am.
Because
I feel
that.
Like when people meet me, they're like, oh, like, you're nice. And oh, you can string a sentence together. Like, they see this image on Instagram, which is very different than the person I actually am.
I had that experience.
With me?
Well, I was
going to.
Of myself. Like, no, I was going to say. What I was going to say is, like, having not met you, mm-hmm. I did the thing that a lot of people probably do, where I was like, whatever. Like, she's just doing her thing. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I don't get it, right? And like, you know, it's just so. I have this happen a lot, where a lot of times I look forward to what I'm going to double back on. You know what I mean? I look
yeah.
forward to having an opinion and then needing to reassess.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, I think in a lot of ways, you've asked the world to do that, right? You've,
mm-hmm.
you've really pushed them to say, hey, look, like, actually, there's a different way to look at this. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of opportunities for observation here, you know,
yeah.
and whatever, learning. So, but I actually lost my complete train of thought. But so anyway, the whole process of understanding kind of how selfies are not necessarily narcissistic. This is what
yeah,
I came to realize on
no,
this boat.
No, and I see that a lot of people are like, "Wow, another picture of yourself!" Like,
yeah,
you're so full of yourself.
They say
I'm
that
like,
too.
"No, like, right. I mean, what do you want to see?" And then they say, like, a picture of you. Well, okay, and this is what I'm giving you.
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You just said don't do it, and now you asked me to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the one that needs the pills. Yeah, it's funny. And so in my own way, you know, kind of my own journey of, because I never wanted to be on that side of the camera, the mm-hmm. other side. I was always a documentarian with strict, you know, morals, and I would never, you know, I hated reality television. I hated, like, you know, the idea that, you know, well, you know, it's a weird thing that happened to me,
yeah.
you know, that I was essentially pushed into this other area that it was like, oh, now you tell the story with your face. And I was like, I really struggled with, no, I didn't want to be perceived as narcissistic, which is actually just narcissistic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
people care so much about me that they're going to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, two photos of me right after each other. I can't do that. Just nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares.
No.
Right?
No.
They don't. And if they don't, they just go follow somebody else.
Yeah.
You know? But it's been funny. You know, I've been really learning a lot about my place mm-hmm. in the golf world or in the world, which is, you know, like there are certain things that I care about, right? Yeah. The sort of randomness of the world, the, you know, how we end up places that we never expected to be, you know, and just sort of how golf can be a deeply fulfilling game.
Yeah.
You know, but I wanted to ask you, like, you know, you've already kind of mentioned a little bit about it, but like, what do you feel like your spot is in there? You know, I feel like you've had some time to kind of marinate on some of the tumultuous parts of your public mm-hmm. life and stuff like that. And so now here you are. What do you see as being that moving forward, the contribution?
I think that I'm the face for misfits in the golf community. I don't conform and I will never conform. And I think I'm fighting for the people who want to be different and who don't have a voice. You know, I know a lot of people, when I talk about dress code all the time, I don't talk about dress code because I want to show my boobs off. That's not what I'm doing it for. I talk about dress code because I think it'll bring more people into the game of golf.
Agree.
And I feel that golf is very exclusive and expensive. And a lot of people can't afford $100 pair of pants and $100 pair of shirt or shoes or whatever. They can't, they can't buy a new golf wardrobe, but maybe they can play golf and they can contribute to the game. So why are you not allowed to let them on the golf course just because they're not wearing a polo?
I agree.
And stuff like that's really frustrating. And I think I'm at a place now where I'm not playing professional golf, so I can speak out about these things. If I was playing professionally, obviously I would be more reserved because I have spoken out and I've received a lot of negative feedback from my peers and that, you
from
know.
From LPGA.
Yeah, and it's a bit upsetting when
don't some LPGA players feel the same as you?
Some of them do, and I think, you know, I've talked to them about it, but some of them are very open, and, you know, I've had a lot of really negative comments from people, and it's just...
I've heard Nike pays Michelle Wies fines.
That's smart. I mean, I just heard about that recently, and it's smart because if you tell them what they can and cannot wear, it kind of hurts the golf clothing industry. Yeah. You know, they want to be able to be innovative and try new things. And if they are stuck in this box, then they can't do that.
Right.
So it's cool. They just kind of let her do her thing and, you know,
right.
They'll handle it. But I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing or like why I have been given this following. It's something that I never wanted. I would not say wanted. I never thought it would happen to me. It was just kind of thrown in my lap, and then I've just gone with it. This is what
my like research through your Instagram proved to me.
Yeah,
you started out just like everybody else.
Yeah, someone wrote an article, and then it kind of went viral, and then it just snowballed from there. And
my dog's name.
I know, I had to bring it. Tied in. But no, it's been challenging at times, but I noticed that on social media, and I guess within any industry, there's not a lot of authenticity or people who are genuine anymore. And I think that through my Instagram, I'll post a picture of myself, but at least in the caption, I'll try to talk about what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with. My life's not perfect. I'm not flying on private jets. I'm not, you know, I don't go out and, you know, wear designer clothes or, I mean, that's not really what I want either. But like on social media, you see all the influencers are, you know, they have this life that people want, but that's not even really their life. And I try to show the ups and downs. And I think that's why I do have this following, because I'm authentic and I talk about things in golf that I don't agree with. And I'm pretty open and honest about that, about myself and things I've been through and things that I want to be changed.
Well, one of the interesting things now that I'm also realizing it is, you know, I think one of the things that defines some influencers, at least some of the influencers that I've kind of like tried to like, just sort of understand where we're at from a sociological perspective, culturally, you know, like a lot of them use professional photographers.
Yeah.
You don't.
No, Steven, in the beginning, before I met Steven, my mom would take my pictures for me with like my iPhone.
So cute.
And then Steven takes pictures and all my YouTube videos are filmed with an iPhone and that's it. And, you know, I do everything myself and I like to keep it that way. I've noticed that when I go in to work with different companies, the one thing that's really important to me is that I have as much creative control as possible, because right. I know it resonates well with my audience and sure. I know it's going to do well. And, you know, if you have something that's overly produced and, you know, it's just, it seems kind of not genuine anymore and right. it's not me. Yeah. And, you know, I always try to like make sure it almost looks like it's not really well done.
Oh, that's funny. That's really smart.
You know, I'm
going to try that.
And then, you know, but that's, I think that's what they expect from me. You know, I think right. if they're going in and they're expecting something that's really well done, like they'll always, you know, want that, you know, type of quality. But with me, it's not that way. And so yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So can we, I really want to look through your DMs. Can we do this?
Yeah.
I just want to see what the hell this is actually like.
Okay.
So guys, we got, so these are people, these are message requests. Oh my God, you just refresh it and it went nuts.
Yeah.
Wait, so can I, do you mind?
Yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, so here we go. So we've got 10 minutes ago, 11 minutes ago, 24 minutes ago.
Oh, I haven't posted in a while, so it's not.
Oh my God, the list just goes on.
There's more.
All right, so here we go. 12 hours ago. Whoa. So this guy has written you multiple times and you just, I mean, he wrote you, I mean, I'm not going to say his name, but
I don't think he's written me anything
no.
worthwhile to respond back to.
No, a lot of it is like, I'm asking you if you're coming to tournaments. Nice guy, whatever. Commenting on someone else's comment. I don't think I should probably read these word for word. Can I, or is that I can't tell. They're not.
Oh, that one's funny. I was supposed to respond by that one.
You are a savage. I like that. Quoting you.
Well, someone I commented on a post and was like, wow, a whore with no talent. And I said, if I had a dollar for every time someone called me a whore on Instagram, I wouldn't have to be a whore on Instagram.
Whoa. You came up with that yourself?
Yeah.
That's really good.
And so I just like, that's what really I like good. To comment back. I'll make fun of myself and just like.
That's like, wait, do you realize that's like some fucking like Henry. That's like a short story. That's like the gift of the Magi.
Oh, whore.
Yeah. So he referenced that quote and said, you, my lady, are a savage.
Yeah, I'll respond back. I haven't responded back to them because I've been a bit busy here, but I'll respond back to most of these.
How much for a golf lesson? Great question.
No golf lessons yet.
10K?
maybe later on when I...
you make a good living. You must make a lot of money. I mean, right?
I'm doing okay for
you're
myself.
You're doing okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever read... There was like a breakdown of like how, because I don't, my Instagram doesn't make any money. I like it that way though. You know what I mean? Neither does a podcast, by the way. So if you ever, anyone wants to buy a podcast, here's your chance. But you know, it's like they were talking about all of the work that goes into these people's lives, yeah. You know? And, you know, I don't know. I'm beating over the same thing.
I don't make as much money as I could. So yeah. I don't like to pimp out my Instagram.
Right.
I don't do any deals where I can't be.
Oh, that's
be.
Sweet. You are a natural beauty.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's great. Is that from and are most of your followers men or women?
I think 96% of them are men.
Right.
Yeah.
Mine is 81 or something, or 79. I
mean, it's just the golf industry.
Yeah.
But if I can't promote something authentically, I don't want to do it.
Right. Oh, this is someone reposting. Oh, you are so beautiful, like Miss World. Wow. Mostly respectful.
Yeah, mostly respectful.
I was expecting just like 92 dick pics.
Yeah.
None of that.
No, honestly, it's really shifted.
Can I have your number? That's bold. That's bold.
Some of them are really funny.
Some of them are, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But do you ever screenshot them? Here we go. Sent a photo. You can't see the photo without allowing the message.
I just don't allow it because I know it's probably something I don't want to see.
Yeah. Well, here's a golf thing. Someone message you.
That's my sister.
Hey. So anyway, that was it wasn't underwhelming. It was actually reassuring.
No, it was reassuring. Everyone's been really, really nice lately, I think, because I try to be as positive as possible, and I think people like to give that back. And I try to respond to as many of the really nice messages. I know a lot of people will send like, you know, paragraphs of like
right.
really they take the time to write that. So I'll take the time to respond to them. But right. if someone says, hey, I'm not going to respond to that just because it's.
Hey, that's weird.
Hey, want to say back?
Hey, what did I pass? Do we walk by each other?
Yeah, like, sup? Like, I don't know.
Are you working the door?
Yeah.
I'm confused. This is Instagram.
But it's cool because, you know, hey. There's some people that I've never, obviously never met, but we have this, like, I know how their kids are doing and their wife. And
no
like,
shit, really?
Yeah, and they ask me how I'm doing. And, you know, we'll have just like lengthy conversations. So.
Let's see what I got here. I got three requests. So you know Michael Collins?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was talking, I was having breakfast with him and he was saying how he won the media lottery.
And that's really cool.
Have you played Augusta?
I've never played Augusta. I can't believe he won. That's awesome.
He won it and he played it and he said that he couldn't turn his phone on.
That's great. We had like a dinner for PXG and he was sitting.
Oh, that's right. He was just there. I saw this.
Yeah. And we were talking about the lottery. And I was like, there's no way you're going to win. Or like, that's like impossible. And
he did it.
Yeah. There. That's crazy.
So I'm in the lottery. I'm hoping. Well, we'll see. I think this podcast may come out after that. I'm not sure. So maybe I've already played it. We'll see.
Maybe.
Who's your favorite follow on Instagram?
Favorite follow on Instagram?
Yeah. Who do you really look forward to? Mm. Not someone you know. Someone you know you out there. Like, who inspires you? For me, I tell you my answer if you want to give you some.
Yeah.
The Rock.
The Rock.
I love That's a good one. The Rock.
I don't know. It's just like.
Do you not go through your feed?
No, I do. Like, it's like a mix. I'll look at like different girls. Like, I think Sarah Underwood, she used to be.
She and I matched on Raya.
Really?
Yeah.
So she used to.
She's beautiful. See,
yeah, she's beautiful. But
we
I
texted
like,
for a bit and then I was like, I don't know.
A little humble brag there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Are you friends with her?
No, I don't know her. So
tell her I said hi. I can slide back into her DMs, I guess.
Yeah,
can
you help me out? Yeah. But I
For
think
those of you, you should, Sarah Underwood. Sarah Underwood's a great example of what I'm talking about. She's beautiful, and she goes around the world with professional photographers. She's a former Playboy model.
Yeah, but she's like, her Instagram is, it's like a work of art because she's
That was not a humble brag, by the way. That was a straight up brag. I was not being humble at all.
Yeah, but she's like, obviously beautiful and she, you know, shows her body off, but she's always wearing like really cute outfits and I'm always like looking
she's
where
naked.
She's not
naked.
All the time, but she's in like these amazing places and I'm like, I wish my Instagram could one day look something like that. Like I like the way that she goes about it because it's not just like her.
Right.
It's her in this amazing background in like
it's incredible.
The Alps or something and she's like, in this super cute outfit and like that's someone I look to aspire to
I don't
be
know if
life.
You can do that she looks way too sexy I find
like all the time
it's almost like I it's distracting for me a little bit
well
because I'll be like I followed her for a bit
because
like I said we were talking and like she lives in Portland so we didn't end up meeting up or anything but like you know like I would follow her and I would just and I would be like ah fuck like I can't like it's she's so hot
yeah
she's so hot and it was just like very difficult to like
Yeah, she's so I had like to gorgeous.
Her. Yeah, I had to follow. She got an unfollow due to hotness.
She probably does. So like something I do. Some people are like, "How do you go outside in those outfits?" I'll literally put an outfit on, take a picture.
No, but change, you're, and different. Walk out. You're different. You there's they're not the same thing.
For oh yeah, because she's literally like naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
I yeah, mean, she definitely pushes the boundaries of like. You know, it's even okay to be on Instagram, but like, but she does it again, I think in a very tasteful way,
sure.
You know, it's not just like, obviously it's her body, but again, it's like, there's so much more to the picture.
Yeah.
And I just think she does a really good job.
I mean, I don't know. Like it's interesting that you say it because she is like, I don't know. No one's given Hugh Hefner flack or was, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and like she said, she came from Playboy.
Yeah.
So like. You know, what's wrong with that? And she's really like perfectly settled in this new niche of like, I travel, I take beautiful photos of myself looking beautiful. And, you know, like, and, you know, the CEO of Burger King, supposedly vegan. Why do you serve meat? Because I'm giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
Right. So like, well, I don't know. Like, I mean, you can get on either side of a hate argument. Right. And so you can be like, I hate it or whatever, but you can't argue with people liking it and her making money off it.
Oh, I mean, it's her job, it's her business, and I commend anyone who can create almost nothing, I mean, something out of nothing, you know, it's just pictures, but again, she's creating this, people want to see what she's doing every day. They check in, they look at her picture, they like her picture, they comment on her picture, you know, it's a business.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Just business.
And it doesn't matter if she's hot or not. She's making millions of dollars a year. Like.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I think you have to use what you have to make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she is gorgeous. So why can't she use her beauty? You know, some people are born really intelligent, or, you know, they have different abilities. She was born beautiful and she uses that. I don't think that's she'd probably be stupid if she didn't try to use that to get ahead.
Yeah, right? She's just wearing sweatpants all the time. Taking bad photos of herself in Walmart.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Then she's stupid.
It doesn't make sense. No one ever wants to go out and not look their best.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's something I found out this year is like, look good, feel good. It's true. Yeah. And so I was actually, one of the podcasts I was expressing, overcoming a little bit of man shame for feeling like I shouldn't be caring about my outfits as much as I do.
Everyone cares.
But I started caring, and, you know, walking around a golf tournament is, you know, people come and say, that's a nice outfit.
Yeah.
So, you know what? You know, like, yeah, like, why is it bad to care?
It's not bad to care. I think people just want to make you feel bad about it because maybe they don't look the way they want to look, or, you know, they're not putting the time in, or they have like their own insecurities that are holding them back from being the person they want to be.
Yeah. So what's like next for you? What are you going to, like, 5 years, what are you going to do? I hate when people ask me that.
Gosh, there's so much more I want to do. I think the next thing is getting more, I think, credibility within the golf community. So right. Doing more things where I can show off my golf knowledge, and, you know, I've trained with some of the best coaches in the world, and
right.
Why not use that and give that information to the people and do that. I also want to potentially one day come out with a clothing line, a golf clothing line.
Or, I like that.
Yeah. And just because I know a lot of girls ask me every single day, what are you wearing? Like, where did you get that? Like, what are you doing?
Amazing.
And it's like, why not make my own clothing line and give, you know, give the girls what they want. You know?
Give them what they want.
And the guys.
Burgers.
Yeah. And just keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, I love my job. I love what I do. I love creating new content and, you know, trying to make other people happy and just being my goofy self.
I like your goofy self.
Thank you.
It's cool because, you know, speaking of all these, you know, women's things you're talking about, we are currently doing this podcast at a place that is, you know, going to be seated in history.
Mm-hmm.
As being they're gonna host two of the rounds of the women's
AM,
and the third round will be at
Champions Retreat,
Augusta National.
No, they have them here, and then they have one in Augusta. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
I just blew your massive announcement.
Fucked it all up.
I'm sorry.
We have to delete the whole podcast and start over. Hour and 6 minutes. That's long. That's a long time for me.
Is it?
I feel like it is. Hey, what about you?
No, I'm enjoying our conversation.
How many podcasts have you done? You did one yesterday.
Yeah, that was one of my,
like, whoa.
That was one of my best friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fitness.
It was just a fun one. I didn't like.
I like how you tried to shake it off. Fitness. It wasn't like this.
No. Well, he was just like, he's a good friend of mine. So, I've done a couple, not too many.
Do you like doing podcasts or no?
I do because I feel like sometimes with interviews they have like their set, you know, questions that they have to ask you, and they're usually like the same questions over and over again, and they always ask me about like cyberbullying, and that usually becomes the whole,
it probably gets boring for you.
Not boring, you're, but like, I feel like boring. People think that, yeah. I think people think that like I tend to play the victim all the time because I talk about it, but I'm getting asked the question all the time, and right. So it's nice to do like podcasts where it's just kind of all over the place and I can, you know, talk about other things that are going on in my life or that interest me, or more sides of like my personality.
Well, in some ways, Paige, you're like in between a rock and a hard place, right? Because you've basically got like, you've got people basically essentially paying with their eyeballs to look at you, and you know what they want.
Yeah.
You've figured that out. So you give them that. And then you also are somehow they're followed by this other group of like non-groupies that don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a very tough place to be like, look, man, I'm just trying to fucking do my job. All right.
Yeah.
You told me what you like. I'm giving it to you. And now you guys are hating it. And now, yeah, like it's probably hard to like step in and out of that role of like, you know, I, you know, am I the victim? I'm like, I'm giving this to you. I'm making a decision to do that. It's what's working.
Yeah.
Do I deserve the negative comments? No. You know what I mean?
I mean, no one deserves negative comments. And, you know, it's It's a part of my job, and I understand.
Do you think part of it is that it's golf?
100%. What I'm wearing is not revealing or risque.
And we should get Sarah Underwood on the phone. Like, I would love to hear what she has to say.
I mean, everyone who looks at my Instagram, they're like, so the first, I guess, bikini shoot I ever did was Sports Illustrated. And that was
weeks ago.
Yes. And I've never done anything before like that. I've always said if I was ever going to do something like that, I wanted to be something, I guess, big, you know, because I get so much crap for it. And I was like, fine, if you guys want to see it, or you call me a slut, you call me all these things, then let's push the envelope a little bit and I'll do that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I'm wearing anything that's inappropriate ever. You know, I think it's because like it's golf.
I have golf naked.
Yeah, it's golf because golf is so conservative, and they're like, it has to be done this way. And if it's not done that way, then it's not right. And
well, here's the thing, too, is you're from the start, from birth, you're almost pigeonholed because you're born as a woman.
Oh, 100%.
It's probably a strange experience to be in the golf world.
It is.
There is now many women like you who want to be like you and who are like you. There's many, many, many. In fact, you're the majority of female golfers, would you say, on Instagram?
On Instagram, yeah. No, I mean, you say there's a lot, but I can think of maybe 30. So there's like 30 of us, you know. But I get a lot of hate from women in the golf industry as well. So it's not like...
Just like regular golfers.
Regular golfers, right. Yeah, because it's not appropriate golf attire. And it's just because I'm within golf, and it's such a male-dominated industry that it's hard to be taken seriously. And people are like, well, don't wear what you're wearing. I'm like, that's not... You should be listening to what I'm saying. Like, I'm giving you... like really good golf tips right here. Like focus on that. You know, like I know what I'm talking about. And I think the most frustrating thing is when people talk about my playing ability and then I'm not very good. Because I am better.
Are
than
you good?
99.
I have no idea. Do you have a handicap?
Yeah, I'm a +3.
Jesus.
So like,
so you're going to go out and play right now.
Yeah.
What are you going to shoot?
I haven't shot over like a 74 and like since I quit golf. So, or professional golf.
Right. Two years ago?
Yeah, I had
one. You haven't shot more than two over?
No.
Jesus, I'm jealous.
I think people see.
I had
two bad tournaments publicly in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And it's because I was so stressed out and I had so much like pressure.
What did you shoot, like 80?
I shot 80. And that was the worst score I've shot in like years. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be publicly. So everyone always like just goes to that score and they never focus on any other things that I've ever done.
Did you get an appearance fee to play?
No. No, I got an invitation.
They were like, come out for free.
Yeah. So I
they paid you to go. I mean, they paid your way.
Yeah. Right. But it was an invite to a tournament. And it was my very, very first professional event.
Oh, goodness.
So, you know, and then they said that they've never seen that much like media and press since Tiger played the tournament.
There you go.
And they're like, we weren't even.
You're
expecting
a professional
that.
Bad golfer.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
There's few golfers that can get ratings for 80s.
I know, right?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you met Tiger?
I haven't met Tiger.
Really?
No. Saw him play yesterday.
Cool as that.
It was really cool.
So nuts, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That guy is fucking. He's on another level.
It was kind of a crazy. Like, so we were waiting on, I want to say 6 or 5 or something. I can't remember.
She's talking about. A golf course called Augusta National Golf Club.
Augusta National. I get so turned around on that course, though. I'm not going to lie. I never know what hole I'm at.
I literally thought you were going to say, I get so turned on that golf course. And I was like, I mean, I think you're not in the minority.
but it looks very different in person than it does on TV, as I'm sure you saw. And like, you would think the holes go like, one goes straight and the next one turns around and goes the other way. And it's not like that. It's like one's here, 18, and then like 4 and then 6 and it's all over the place.
Yeah, the rounding is very weird.
It is really weird.
It's not weird, but it's not what you think.
No. Like you have to go there a couple times to realize where you're going. But anyways, we were on 5 or 6. I don't remember what hole it was. And we were waiting there for him to come and we were really close. And when he comes up, this guy actually, I had like an episode, like something, and he like fell on the ground and starting like it was really, really scary.
Oh no, like a seizure.
Yeah, and like everything was going on, and so he hit, but like everyone was focusing on him, so I was like more obviously concerned about like that guy and his health. And then Tiger walked away and he was fine, and so I was like all good, but like it was a very like intense moment. So I think like seeing Tiger like that close and then all of a sudden that obviously like that going on,
it almost killed
my
him.
Heart was racing and I was like, so it was pretty intense.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I get starstruck sometimes, but not quite like that. Who's your favorite, like, you know, so who do you want to meet the most? Like, do you have anyone like that? Who do you really admire?
I don't know. I like meeting, you know what you were saying, where, like, you have this idea of someone and then they, you know, change your mind. You become, like, a really big fan of them. I met Rory in Dubai.
Legend.
And I never disliked him, but I was never, like, a fan of his. I've seen some of his interviews where I think he can come off a bit aloof, I would say.
Interesting.
And, you know, he's not as, like, warm and friendly as some of the other guys. And I met him in person. The absolute nicest, coolest guy ever. Like, he is just so cool. And, like, he was just explaining, like, how his life is and, like, all the media requests he has to do and, like, kind of living in that spotlight. And then it makes sense why, you know, in some interviews, it could have been his, like, 15th million interview of the day. Of course, he's going to probably come off a little aloof if it's they're asking the same question over
the
and
same
over
questions.
Again. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, Ian Poulter, who's an amazing guy. And I think that one of the coolest guys I met where I was so shocked was Colin Montgomery.
Really?
The nicest guy I've met. Like, he was just so warm and friendly and was just, like, so sweet and so nice. And, like, you wouldn't expect that from him. And then so to, like, see it the other way and be like, this guy is awesome. Like, you feel bad because you're like, he's gone through his whole career with a lot of people thinking that he's a certain way and he's the nicest guy ever.
Right.
So.
So interesting.
Yeah.
It's so interesting looking at the dichotomy of that, you know, of what we think and what is.
Mm-hmm.
Never really the same.
No.
Never the same. Any questions for me? We're winding down. I'm low blood sugar. I need more cookie. Yeah, I'm going to have another bite. One more bite of the cookie and we can go 4 more hours.
Okay.
That's the ratio.
That's it. What do you think needs to change within the golf industry where it becomes more welcoming and inclusive?
Well, we're out of time. No. I just spit my cookie all over the desk. I always
like to ask people that because I think everyone always has this idea that we need to, like, grow the game and there's changes that need to be made. But when we actually talk about it, no one actually has an idea of how to do that. And so for someone who I think you consider yourself an outsider within the golf community or someone who's doing something different, it'd be interesting to hear.
I'm an insider of the outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very inside of the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know. This might sound weird, but my first real response is, like, I mean, I'm working on it. You know, like the show that I wrapped my life around is, like, really, it's the most important thing to me. You know, we go all around the world and play golf with people of all different walks of life. We play in the slums of Mumbai with a bent piece of metal and a ping pong ball. I played in a prison in Louisiana where the guards play golf on a course that was built by the prisoners. You know, and really, I think without even knowing it, you know, I kind of was tasked with by the PGA Tour of making a show that, you know, just attracted, you know, the new golf audience, which is, you know, kind of like on cell phones and, you know, not watching the Thursday round as much, maybe. Yeah. And I was just like, well, whatever, I'll just go around the world and play golf with weird people because that's what's interesting to me. And I guess sort of like the scratch and sniff of that is, you know, well, that was what I thought I was doing.
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, after a few years of making the show without really thinking about the theme, you know, everyone talks about the theme. I don't know what a theme is. Like when you watch a movie and they're like, well, the theme is the father-son relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know, you lost me. I just liked the movie, okay? But the reason why I like that movie is because of the theme.
Yeah.
And in the same way that the reason why people like the show, Adventures in Golf, is because
they see something different than they've ever seen before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of what I get is my kid loves the show. My wife loves the show. She doesn't like golf, but she likes the show. And so in that sense, like,
you're bringing the entertainment aspect into golf, which I think is missing sometimes.
Do you want to be my agent? Tom, you're out.
Well, I mean, we go through the same thing all the time. I think people want to keep golf how it is, but at the end of the day, I mean, why do you watch football if you're maybe not a football fan? You watch because of the celebrations now or because there's that conflict, that entertainment.
Right.
Sometimes golf is missing that. And so people who are not golf fans don't want to watch golf because it's boring because there's no entertainment.
Yeah. Well, and even further to that, I agree. And even more than that, it's outside the center in some ways. Like the golf community has sort of, you know, not really, as a whole, moved itself into where we are now with every other freaking sport, which is like, I'm going to drink, I'm going to yell. And all of a sudden, waste management is like, you know, it's like all
frowned
this,
upon.
Yeah, you're frowned upon to yell. I don't know. I don't have a terrible opinion about all that, like Baba Booey or whatever.
I don't honestly care. I think the worst thing to say as a player is people need to be quiet because we're playing for millions of dollars.
Yeah.
The reason you're playing for millions of dollars is because of the fans watching you.
You and I actually play. You played in the group in front of me at the Waste Management this year.
Did you hear
Luke List, right?
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the roar on 16?
What happened?
I made birdie.
Yes. That's so great. Had you ever played in that pro-am?
I played in the Monday the year before and then Wednesday.
Was that
this
also
year.
Big? Monday's not
yeah,
as big.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like normal.
Right.
But obviously the Waste Management is just like insane.
Outside.
So it was nothing like Wednesday. But
you made it two. How long was your putt?
4 feet.
Good for you. 4 feet.
I was so nervous.
So I had this whole thing where I was like, I found out Tuesday night that I was going to play. Because I was there working with like Hoffman. We were doing like Golf Channel commercials. Yeah. That just came out, actually. It's super funny. And so, yeah, I like they're like, do you want to play tomorrow? And I was like, I don't have clubs, golf shoes, or anything. And I was just like, yeah, I'll fucking play. So they gave me these weird clubs. And I was like stressing about 16. I was like,
as soon as you turn the corner for 10, you just hear it. And you're stressing about the whole
time. And
you
hear it for like an hour and a half. By the way, it's the longest round of my life. Like you were on 10 and I came up. And I realized that I had been playing golf for 3 hours.
Yeah, it's long. Pro-ams are really long.
Yeah, and I remember you were there, and you were playing with Luke, and who else was like other weird people in your group, whatever.
We were with the...
You were the celebrity, Paige. you gotta own it. You're the celebrity.
No.
Celebrity golfer.
I'm famous, I guess, on social media, and I don't think that counts for much sometimes.
You just got your demo. If you go to Walmart, no one's going to know, but if you go to Golf Galaxy, people are going to be like, yo... Autograph.
That's kind of nice because I can just walk anywhere unless a golf course.
And just go play volleyball if you don't want to be famous.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like, I always tell people like I don't want to, I feel like when you see someone famous, you put them on a pedestal and I never want to like be that. I always want to be someone they can talk to, more relatable, more on their level. And so like I can have that deeper connection with them.
But I think actually that pedestal is changing. And as we move forward in our own forms of media, right?
Yeah.
Like you have a direct line to your people, right? And you have a way of communicating authentically that's like, hey, I'm not feeling that great or whatever it is. Or like, you know, this has been disconcerting or wow, this is so exciting. Like, you know, I don't know. It's been really profound for me the past like couple, whatever, months, weeks, years, I don't know, of realizing where we're at with all this and like how it's like, you are the novelist. You know, you're writing the story of your life, not only in a manifestation way, like,
literally.
What did you want? You wanted to be a pro golfer, but are you happier now?
100% happier now.
Yeah.
I hated playing professionally. It wasn't the life that I thought it was going to be. I think people see the guys on tour, and obviously they're doing extremely well. But
they're seeing
women,
the best of the best.
The best of the best.
On their best day.
Exactly. And it's not really like that for the women. It's a bit different, and it's hard to make a lot of money. And my first year playing professionally, I played around 25 events or so. I made money in all but two. I had a win. It was like mini tours and like LET. Hmm. And I barely broke even for the year.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so like
in
a lot of
business terms, that's bad.
That's really bad. Yeah, so that's a lot of other girls get a second job. My second job just happened to be very public.
7 to 5.
And so it was tough to kind of balance that because it was in the public eye.
Right.
And so I felt like I was always doing both jobs poorly instead of doing one job really great. And so I decided to do the media.
Okay. Well, I hope I answered all your questions.
You did.
Anything else?
I need that cookie recipe.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I'll give you. It's on the podcast, but I will give it to you.
Okay,
perfect. It's actually not that complicated. It's just, you know, I've got more. Do you want another one?
Yeah. Can I have another one?
All right. Well, I will give you that. Thank you so much. Because we went over. It was an hour and, I can't read, 23 or 28. Jeez. One of the two.
It didn't feel that long. It didn't feel that long.
It's good.
You were
doing
like
most
falling
of the
talk. Asleep. And
no. I just didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I went to bed very late. What are you doing tonight? What's your plan?
I think we're going to hang out at the Champions Retreat and do the night range here.
night range.
Yeah, they like set it up and they have.
Is that
like,
a Bob Seger song? Working on the night range.
From what, 7 to 5.
So, 7 to 5. Literally.
Literally. Five. Yeah, no, but they set it up and they have like music and people can come hit golf balls.
Whoa,
and
where the fuck is my invite?
Come out. Anyone
what time
can come
is
out.
It? What time is it going to be?
I think as soon as it gets dark, they put the lights on and they have like the PXG tent is out there as well. So
is
we can
Pat Perez
go.
Coming out?
Oh, he's playing the Masters.
He has a. He's working 7 to 5.
But yeah.
8 p.m.
But I'll be out there and so.
Chilling.
Yeah, just hanging out.
All right. Well, I'll do it.
Perfect.
I'll be there.
Perfect.
What else? Anything else? I think that's it. I don't know how to end the podcast. That's
Thank
the
truth.
Thank
you so much for having me on.
She knows how to do it.
I really enjoy talking to you and thank you for giving me a platform to speak about things other than just cyberbullying and dress code and all the typical stuff that either people know me for or assume that I'm going to talk about. So it's nice to have something a little bit different.
It's different.
It is different. I loved it.
The one thing I didn't tell you is that this podcast is really only for my parents. They're two of three listeners. The third one is my producer.
Hi, so. Mom and Dad.
Yeah, no, thank you for joining me. I had a great time, and I think, I just can't end the podcast.
It was great.
We need like a verbal logo. Like, hit it down the middle, kids. What is it? What do you say? How do you say goodbye? You like
not hit it down the middle, kids.
No, the bad one. Don't go left. What is it? Hit it.
Oh, yeah. When you're on the team, you're like, don't hit the bunker. Oh, yeah. Fairways and greens.
Yeah. But there's going to be a better sign off.
People always yell, like, get in the hole.
Get in the hole?
Yeah.